This is Rabbi Avital Hochstein of Machon Hadar. Parashat Be'ha'alotcha 57:77. Walking in the footsteps of those who are last. The description of the structure of the way that the Israelites traveled in the wilderness presents a model of how a people should move, not just physically, but also socially, spiritually, intellectually, and politically. The verses speak of a number of desirable or necessary components of what it takes to be a moral, responsible nation while in a dynamic state. A moving nation has to have a group that is concerned with maintaining order even at times of change, needs to have a group that can defend against the external threats, and needs to have an inclusive space even for those for whom change is challenging. Chapter 10 of Bamidbar describes the plans for the journeying from trumpets which announce the movements to Moshe's announcement of the time to rest and set up camp. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Have 2 silver trumpets made. Make them of hammered work. They shall serve you to summon the community and to set the divisions in motion." And the verses go on to say, "And when it halted, he would say, 'Return, O Lord, you who are Israel's myriads of thousands.'" The tribe of Yehudah is the front of the formation. The first standard to set out, troop by troop, was the division of Judah. In command of its troops was Nachshon, son of Aminadav. And Dan is the tribe that brings up the rear. Then, as the rear guard of all divisions, the Me'asif, the standard of the division of Dan, would set out. I'd like to focus on the role of Dan, of those who form the back of the formation, the Me'asif, a meaningful role in the framework of any social national movement. Role number 1, returning lost objects. In the Jerusalem Talmud, there's a dispute as to how exactly the camp of Israel was structured during their travels in the desert. The rabbis are divided as to the question of whether they were in a box formation, in a square, or whether they were in a beam formation, in a line. How did the Israelites travel in the desert? Rabbi Chama bar Chanina and Rabbi Hoshaya disagreed. One said like a box, and the other said like a beam. The one who said that it was like a box based himself on the verse, "As they camp, so they shall march." The one who said that it was like a beam based himself on the verse, "As the rear guard of all divisions." Like in the case of many Talmudic discussions, the Talmud needs to contend with the path not chosen. Why did the opinion of box reject the proof text for the beam formation, and vice versa? The one who holds that Israel marched like a beam, despite the fact that they were camped like a square, explains that the verse which makes it seem like they in fact did march as they camped was not a reference to the formation, but to the description, "Just as they camped according to the divine decree, so too they journeyed according to the divine decree." On the other hand, how can the position which maintains that they journeyed in a box formation understand that Dan was the last tribe? If they are traveling in a box formation, then there should be 3 tribes in the back. He suggests an alternative understanding of what it means to say that Dan was the collector tribe, the Me'asif. It means that the tribe literally collected the lost objects. Anyone who lost something, Dan would return to him, as it says, "As the rear guard of all divisions, the Me'asif." What are the assumptions and values that returning of lost objects illuminate? This type of activity obviously touches on principles regarding property and ownership, but it might also outline a general orientation, a desire to return not only every object to its rightful owner, but also everything in the world in its rightful place. It expresses that there is a value to the way that things were ordered, that the past provides an anchor in reality which is worth returning to. We should remember that we are speaking about a time of change when Israel is in a transition. When we articulate the value of returning objects in this context, we aren't registering a protest against change in general. Rather, we're ensuing a statement that there was a real value to the way that things were. And just because we leave something behind, it doesn't render it useless. A change by happenstance, which is the product of leaving behind, ignoring, or being mistaken, isn't necessarily something that is not worth saving. We are insisting that there is something there that is worth fixing, and that is how we should understand it. This is not just a reticence about changes that are the product of a mistake or inattention, but maybe also a distancing from the taking of advantage of weaknesses or mistakes of people. The tribe of Dan makes certain that anything, and maybe also anyone, that was inside that formed part of the social fabric will remain there even at the times of change. The tribe of Dan makes certain that things should not be left behind or neglected, even by accident. The tribe of Dan is thus responsible for guarding the internal order, and as such, Dan represents the view that even during times of change and transition, there is reason to value the past and re-establish routine, reinstate old patterns, and return objects and values to their rightful place. What are the assumptions and values that returning of lost objects illuminate? This type of activity obviously touches on principles regarding property and ownership, but it might also outline a general orientation, a desire to return. To return not only every object to its rightful owner, but also everything in the world to its rightful place. Moreover, it expresses that there is value to the way that things were ordered, that the past provides an anchor in reality, an anchor which is worth returning to. Returning lost objects is a restoring of past order. We should remember that we are speaking about a time of change, when Israel is in transition. When we articulate the value of restoring past order in this context, the message is complex. We're issuing a statement that there was real value to the way that things were, despite the present moment of change. A change by happenstance, which is the product of leaving behind, ignoring, or being mistaken, isn't something to take advantage of. We are insisting that there is something there that is worth restoring. There's another value expressed in the act of restoring objects. Retaining, leaving what is inside within. The tribe of Dan makes certain that everything, and maybe also anyone, that was inside, that formed part of the social fabric, will remain there even at the times of change. The tribe of Dan makes certain that things should not be left behind or neglected, even by accident. The tribe of Dan is thus responsible for guarding the internal and its order. As such, Dan represents the view that even during times of change and transition, there is reason to value the past and to reestablish routines, reinstate old patterns, and return objects and values to their rightful place. Number 2, the role of defense. In his Korban HaEdah commentary to the Jerusalem Talmud, Rabbi David ben Naftali Hirsch Frenkel highlights another important function of the tribe of Dan. And he says, because the tribe of Dan had a large population, he would walk in the back so that if they should come to wage war from behind, the tribe of Dan would stand against them. This interpretation suggests a different focus for the activities of the tribe of Dan as the Me'asif. They protect against external threats. Restoring lost objects is internal to the members of the camp. It ensures that that which is lost will be returned and will remain inside. This type of protection works to keep the inside in and adds to it keeping the outside out. It ensures that anything that does not have a place inside will not enter. Of course, someone who is on the outskirts of a camp and charged with security will logically have to engage in a process of selection and discrimination. He has to know who is coming towards him, who appeared on his path, and who is trying to enter from the outside. Are they for us or against us? It is only after this investigation that one will be able to turn and fight against anything that is laying outside in wait. That is to say that the tribe of Dan, traveling along the farthest edge of the camp, is responsible for the interactions with the outside. Naturally, when a people faces a time of change, the definition of what is inside and what is outside is in constant flux. In that context, there is a need to listen attentively, to see clearly and sharply, and to stand strong regarding all interactions with the outside. Role number 3, inclusion. An additional midrash in Psikta Zutrata emphasizes another dimension of the role of the collector, the Ma'asif. As the rear guard of all divisions, that anyone who is lagging behind would be included in the camp of Dan, because it was the final one. This midrash adds a new dimension to what makes the tribe of Dan unique. Anyone from any of the tribes who found themselves falling behind because they were walking slowly for any reason could join Dan, who was bringing up the rear. Anyone who needed an unplanned break, anyone who found themselves stopped for any reason, maybe the journey was too difficult, maybe the person was beginning to wear themselves down, these people were collected and gathered by Dan, gathering into the formation with the tribe of Dan as Israel continued to travel. So the space that Dan occupies is not occupied only by the people of the tribe of Dan. It ends up being a place for everyone, where any member of any tribe might find themselves. Alongside the miraculous order in which Bnei Israel marched and camped, there's also a bit of disorder, according to the Psikta Zutrata. As the tribe of Dan becomes an all-inclusive space. We could imagine someone from the tribe of Yehuda, the head of the pack, who finds the travel difficult, physically or emotionally, and begins walking more and more slowly, even stumbling a little, until he finds himself traveling with the people of the backmost tribe, the Ma'asif, Dan. It's as if when Dan gathers up all the people who are traveling, he creates and provides for them some place to be held and protected from the hardships that they bear with difficulty. Dan would include everyone, those who started in the rear and those who ended up there haphazardly. The Torah describes the travels of Israel in the desert. Through this description, different values can be seen and understood. Focusing on the tribe of Dan, the Ma'asif, the fact that one tribe was appointed to take up the rear, we asked, what does it say about a society when it chooses to appoint someone to the job of Ma'asif? The Ma'asif has the role of returning lost objects. Thus, such a society announces that it sees something valuable in being anchored in the past, in past order, and such a society acknowledges the ability of that attachment to provide a sense of stability also in a wandering, changing, moving present. In its place at the rear, the tribe of Dan is also responsible for maintaining the boundary of the camp, for guarding its liminal space, the zone most fraught with tension, most apt for confusion. The society which decides that it needs to have a Ma'asif to stand guard in the back admits that it is vulnerable, It is aware that any changes, even those that seem purely internal, may end up with new contexts. These contexts and environments need to be evaluated, reacted to, understood, and even rejected in favor of establishing strict boundaries, even as those boundaries maintain their dynamicism. And thirdly, these boundaries that are the responsibility of the Masif are not only for the sake of keeping foreignness out, but also for the sake of helping those who are internal to stay within. This kind of society presents us with someone who is tasked with creating a flexible and gentle space to accommodate those who are having difficulty with change. And it invites them both to find their home in the liminal space at the edge of the camp. There, they will find a place that is inclusive, that has variety and complexity, that is both challenging and invigorating, open and alive to the difficulties of transition. Shabbat Shalom.